Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone today. Carter, would you stand, please, sir, if you don't mind? Last night in the church office, I was in a time of worship where I reached a place of just His calm and His presence, and I call it a place of true rest. And in that worship in that office last night, God spoke your name to me. And then immediately spoke a verse of scripture to me out of Psalms 143:6, says that I spread my hands before you, some translations say out to you. And the second part of that says, I thirst for you like a parched land. Then He gave me a vision. He opened my eyes to a vision, and I saw you leaning into a strong breeze, and you were up on your toes, balancing yourself, trying to lean into it as much as you could. And you begin to take deep breaths. And what the Lord began to reveal to me is that there is a dawn breaking where His presence is going to begin to blow on you. And the Lord said, lean into it. Don't back away from it, because it will be different. It will not be something you've experienced before, but to lean into it. Because the Lord is preparing you. He is setting some things for you, but in this breathing in of the breath of God as He is blowing upon you for this new season, the Lord said that He's going to bring you to another plane, another place you've never been before in Him. And your journey is just beginning into things that you've once wondered about, you've asked about, you have meditated on different things that you haven't even spoke to people. And God said, not only in this season is He going to begin to do some of those things, but He's going to answer your questions. And you're going to know that you're moving in the right direction, because the breath of God is going to lift you and bring you to this new plane. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray and seal this word to Him in Jesus' name. Amen. We're about to dive into the Word of God. Into one of the most awesome subjects on the planet Earth. Now I'm going to dive into something that is not always easy to do. But in Christ Jesus, we can do all things. It is possible. As I stated last week, that Moses, as we learn in Scripture, Moses was the humblest of men. And God used him powerfully. But Moses irritated the people by constantly rehearsing the same things over and over again. Why? Because we need to rehearse the same things over and over again. As also stated, I can't imagine Rochelle and I going to one of our four overseers and their wives, and they begin to rehearse something that they told us the last time when we were with them, and that Rochelle and I sat there and go, well, we already know that. We've already heard this. I don't need this. That would be a great mistake. If our overseers, are beginning to rehearse something back to us, our ears should grow. Because there's something God wants us to focus on of great importance to Him, to us. And last week, we rehearsed something well known in the body of Christ. For what purpose? Because God had something to say to each and every person. The mistake that any of us could make today is I rehearse a very familiar subject. We could sit there and say, well, I finally got there on that one. I've got that. I don't need to hear this. No, we all need to listen today, because God has something He wants to say to you personally. As we rehearse something that I actually talked about at the first of the year. But we're going to come from a different direction, and we're going to flow with the Spirit of God. And like last week, as you know, as you cross the thresholds of this into this altar, which filled up last Sunday, you had your breakthrough. And God is going to continue the breakthroughs. But we have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. If you're able, would you stand? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we open our hearts. We cease the activity of our mind that's thinking about things that are not important right now, really. You may answer all of my problems in this season of time. So we open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to me personally in this sermon today. In Jesus' name, amen. David Allen said this, "If we claim to love God but don't love each other, our love is nothing and meaningless. If we don't love each other, that the love that we declare that we have is meaningless because the reality is we don't love each other. And we need to love each other. Oh, come on. We need to love each other. Yeah, there's going to be some breakthroughs today. We got to love each other. It's important. Now, one of the most famous quotes I have in all of my journals is from the one and only Rochelle Smithy. We've all been Rochelle'd, right? Mother's Day, get ready. Rochelle said, "We must choose to love. Love is not a feeling. It is a choice." It's a choice. You got to choose to love. You got to choose to forgive. But if you want your forgiveness to settle and penetrate, you need to love and forgive. It's a choice that we have to make. In the King James Dictionary, when you're studying love, and there's a lot there, there's something that the King James Dictionary defines concerning love that I want to land on, and it's the word benevolence. Now, when you define benevolence, it means an act of kindness. Did you catch the first word? Act. It's not saying I love. It's not saying I believe in love. It's not saying that I love people. You're actually acting on your statement and you go love people. And you show them acts of kindness to do what? To prove your love. Are you with me? To prove your love. It also means, and I love this, good done. Not good talked about, good done. You say, "I'm going to go love that group of people." And you tell 40 people, but you never go and do it, you've done no good. But when you go do it, it's good done. Now, let me ask a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself and your faithfulness to Christ? Okay, let's don't dwell there too long. Now, let's go on to the next one. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself in loving people, key, all kinds of people, like Jesus? See, we start separating things out, and if Jesus was here, he wouldn't do that. In fact, the very places we won't go, he'd be there. Come on, read the scriptures. He'd be there. Don't create another doctrine. He'd be there. He did things that shook the disciples up. They're going, "What are you doing talking to that Jesus? Come on, talking to that woman? Are you nuts?" Jesus lived to serve and love people, all kinds of people. Now here's the key. Listen carefully. Without compromise. I'm going to drill down into that a little more in a moment. Without compromise. And he forgave well. He forgave well. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "Instead, we will speak." I love the first word. Instead. Hang on to that. "Instead, we will speak the truth in love." Pause. We're going to speak the truth without compromise with love. Quit buying into this lie that you have to compromise the scriptures so you can love people and make them feel wanted. Let me tell you what they really want. They want you to live out what the Bible says and prove to them that it works. They want you to be honest and truthful with them. Yes, they'll push back because that's the nature of the flesh in sin. But what they want you to do is tell me what's right and what's wrong. Don't compromise the Scriptures thinking we're going to love people into the... Speak the truth in love. You can begin that process by going to the mirror and looking at your countenance. Rochelle used to say, my countenance, I'd say, I was trying to love them. She said, you were scaring them. Your face, hard, that look, you know. Can I just say this? Real religious. I wasn't reaching nobody. She said, you don't compromise the truth, but man, they don't know if you love them or not. Without compromise. Church, without compromise. We can love people without compromise and see them come to the kingdom of God and get fully delivered from everything that is upon them. Because the Bible says very clearly, the truth will set you free. The truth. Not a compromise, worked up deal, trying to make everybody feel good. They want truth. They'll tell you they don't want truth. Can I tell you? They really do. They really do want the truth. They do. They want the truth. Let me give you one of my pen truths, things I've learned, revelations I've had, or just stuff in life. We must stand firm in the truth without compromise and love at the same time. And love at the same time. Love at the same time. Again, I got to go here. I used to tell Rochelle, I said, I don't think people want to be around me. She said, if you look in the mirror, I wouldn't either. You know what we need to do every day? We're Christ ambassadors. Let's check how we live. What's the countenance on our face? We're supposed to be fishers of men, right? What bait do you need to get them? Sometimes it's... I'm fixing to tell you something that ain't going to feel good. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be awesome. Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. My second pen truth today, NEC exists to bring fresh hope. What? One person at a time. They sang the song. It's a big part of who we are. That's why the banner's out there. We used to have them everywhere. One matters. Long before that became a catchphrase, that was core value here. One person matters. To bring hope, fresh hope, one person at a time. To do so, we must love well and forgive even better. And forgive even better. So sometimes when I'm working with people who are coming out of a lot of stuff, they say, I think I'm finally loving them, but I can tell something's going on. And I'll say, but have you forgave them? They're not going to know that love until you forgive them. Do we love well and forgive even better? Today I'm going to give you five principles of love. This is where we're going to rehearse and go through a lot of scriptures this morning. Rehearse the principles of love. Simple stuff, very simple sermon. But if we have an ear to hear, it should prick something in us. If we let God deal with us. Sometimes God wants to deal with us. Sometimes He wants to shore something up. And sometimes He just wants to say, you're doing the right thing. Don't stop in what you're doing. In John chapter 13, we'll begin in verse 34. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Pause. Just don't look at the next verse. Let's stop and realize the next verse is one of the most popular verses in Scripture.
constantly quoted all the time. I still hear it all the time from the time I got saved. All the time I hear it. But even in myself, I had to look in the mirror and say, but am I living it? So that a world will know that what we have is real. What does verse 35 tell us? Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciple. Where does it start? Our love right here amongst each other. And then we take this outside the walls. Remember, this is just, I call it a tool. It's just a building. You're the church. And we take that same love that we have for each other, and we take it to a world that needs it so desperately. All kinds of people in all kinds of different arenas that you're going to have to step into. Paul said, what? I am all things to what? All people. Love that statement. It's a statement to me that Paul knew how to take the love of Christ to anyone. And that's what we should be. A church that can take the love of Christ to anyone. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 out of the New Living Translation says, let love be your highest goal. Love. And I like to say, number two, forgive even better. Matter of fact, you want to show some love and some forgiveness, go serve the person who put a prick in you. You'll find out where you're at. And they hate it every moment because they're like, stop it. I don't want you doing kind things for me. Stop it. What does love do? Scripture tells me covers a multitude of sins. Love. Number one, without love, all I say is ineffective. You can know the Bible backwards and forwards. I went to the seminary. I was working on a master's and doctoral degree when God said, you need to pull aside and stop because I need you to do some other things. I have all of that. But what good is all of that if I have no love? It's worthless. If I have no love. Without love, all I say is ineffective. I could come to you with 50 different examples that are just flying through my head, but I pinned one down, and it's this one. I don't like you. Why? Because you don't believe I'm right, and I'm right. You know what? I'm in a lot of situations where I could say, no, I'm right, and you're wrong. But I'm going to be patiently working to win them for Jesus. The right will come out if I share the truth in love. The truth in love. Let me speak to the church for just a moment. Yes, Holy Spirit, I will do what He says. Hang on here. When I was a non-Christian, one of the reasons I wasn't drawn to the kingdom or to the church is because you can't be religious and have the wrong countenance on your face if you're going to try to win people. You can't infuriate people and insult them and think you're going to bring them in. Because you're so wise. You know so much. Let's take all that we know and let's start going out with love and start winning people to Jesus. Well, so many people need to be straightened up in their theology. I'll tell you what, with love, you can straighten them up. You can get them on the right path. Pin truth. It's not about winning an argument or getting your way. It's about winning hearts. I'm going to state that again. It is not about winning an argument or getting your way. It's about winning hearts. Rochelle never tried to win an argument when I wasn't serving Jesus. You know how she got me? She loved unconditionally on levels I'm still trying to learn. Love covers a multitude of sins. And she got super creative about how she would bring the kingdom to me. Yeah. Always with love on her countenance and her face, her actions, everything she did. Thank you. Now, here's what we would normally say at this point. Watch what you say. Watch how you act. Now I have to say, watch what you post. I don't surf. You know, you're saying, oh my gosh, he's been surfing. No, I don't. Well, I saw you online. You know, that little thing over the column says that I'm on Facebook? I'm not. I checked all of our social stuff, media stuff, to see if all of our stuff went out. I just forget to kill it, what we call killing it. I just kind of smooth it out of my way, and it looks like I'm still there. I'm not there. But I just know the world we live in. Watch what you say, church. Watch how you act, church. Watch what you post. And filter it. Is it love? Is it love? Well, they needed the truth. I couldn't tell by the way you posted that. Brian, come up here and stand. You're gonna have to protect me from the rocks. Okay, here we go. Now, watch what we say, watch what we post. Is it love? Is it really, really love? Let's go back to my grandfather, World War II veteran, USS San Francisco. Japanese thought they sunk it twice. My grandfather thought they sunk it twice. Kamikaze attacks. I've got his journal. And here's what he used to tell me all the time. No matter what you're going through, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say nothing. No matter what you're going through, if you haven't got anything to say good, don't say nothing. Here's the way I like to say it. If you ain't got anything good to say, stay in the presence of God until you get that taken care of, and then go say something that'll change a life. First Corinthians 13:1. If I could speak all the languages of the earth, and angels, and how I would love to do that. That'd be so much fun. Sit in a restaurant, and they're talking about you. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus in their language. Wouldn't that be a blast? After they're getting over the shock, he heard everything we said. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It's not about all of our wisdom and knowledge and understanding. It's about love. You need all that, but you need to filter it through love. You need to filter it through love. I had a professor who was also a well-known theologian in one of my classes. He said one day, "So I've been trying to make you mad for several months." And I said, well, I'm just grateful that I'm here and I'm able to do this so I can learn more. So why I can't get mad at you because you're helping me. And I was truthful with that statement. And he stopped trying to make me mad. Matter of fact, made it a point to send stuff to me to give me extra stuff that I could learn. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying this morning? That's not who I used to be. Okay, that's not who I was. That's what I was becoming. Because of the truth was setting me free. Was setting me free. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, that'd be fun. And if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. I'd be nothing without love. 2 points. Number two, without love, all I believe is insufficient. Without love, all I know is insignificant. It's not going to win people. One of our apostolic overseers is a theologian, incredible theologian. And we've had this conversation over and over again about it's love mixed with all that knowledge and understanding and revelation filtered by love that's going to draw the lost to Jesus. And he wins hundreds of people to Jesus. This great theologian that he is, he wins hundreds of people to Jesus because he filters everything that he knows through love when he presents it. Anybody with me so far? Our filter. Love. 1 Corinthians 13:3. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I mean, listen to what he's saying here. Even if I just sacrifice my body, I die. I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Strong statements out of Scripture. Not my statements, God's ordained Scriptures being spoken today. Number four, without love, all I give is incomplete. Have something that I call life-giving truth. Life minus love equals zero. Zero. I tell Rochelle, I love you. And all she saw was a big fat zero. Because she couldn't see it because it wasn't there. It was just words. Are you all with me? It's what? Benevolence. It's an act of kindness. Good done. Are we showing our love to one another so everybody else can say it's an act of kindness? It's an action. It has to be real. It's like little kids. You ever notice when the kids they know you're not being honest? They're always trying to figure a way around you, but man, they know it when you're not doing it right. Quit thinking other people aren't figuring out that you're not doing it right either. People are way more discerning than we give them credit for. And as a church, we need for them to see true love and not discern that it's just words. It's all our actions prove it. How we love each other and love those that we come in contact with, all kinds of people. Well, Pastor, do you understand how to love? People have done this. Yeah, I promise you, if you want to sit down with you, I can take you through some things. Yeah, I've had to forgive what you would call them very high levels. Some of you might call it really low levels. Stuff you've been through. You got to forgive. You got to love well, and you got to forgive even better. Number five, without love, all I accomplish is inadequate. How do we treat people? But they made me mad. Walk outside, count to 150, and then come back in and show love. I used to have a lot of managers, you know, my parents were business people, and so I learned a lot from them. And then when I got into ministry, I'd have business people come to me, and they say, I've got this and this going to my employees, and, you know, I want to just, what? I said, well, you know what? You can correct them, and I mean strongly, but be honest with them and be truthful and let them see your love and care. Even if you're having to dismiss them, make sure they see that you care and you love them, but you're having to do this. It'll change everything. It'll change everything. And I don't have time to go through all the testimonies of business people who did that and people left and how they honored them when they left. I hope somebody's catching something here. You filter it through love. How do we treat people? How did I show love today? How did I influence somebody for Christ through my love? Pastor, can you give me something that I can use to test myself at the end of the day to know whether I love someone or not? I am so glad the person in the back row asked me that. Because I'm going to tell you. It's found in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. Wow. 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 You know, your mind remembers, right? It just does. Sometime it'll fade, but your mind remembers. The question is, are you keeping a record? Verse 6, it does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'll say that too. What good is it if you're chasing all these words and you don't love? It's about love. It's all about love. Just for a moment, can we dream? Try to wrap your mind around it. What would this world be like if all of us in this room right now just loved each other intensely and took that out to the world? How would things change? Wow. My mind just goes off into all kinds of things that could be if we did that. We have to make a choice. Let's go back to what Rochelle said. I want to quote it. We must choose to love. Love is not a feeling. It is a choice. We've got to make a decision. We've got to choose to love. It's important that we choose to love. It's a choice. And I'm challenging myself first and all of us to go out into the culture that we go into. All of us go into different cultures, correct? And let's take the truth filtered through love, and let's make a difference. Let's make a difference. Let's be the influence by loving well. How to love well? Number one, serve them. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all who? All people. To bring what? Many to Christ. I'm around all kinds of people. I'm asked a lot, why do you go and do those things? Because I'm fishing. Well, that's because you're a pastor. No, I was fishing before I was a pastor. Though I've been in full-time ministry as a pastor for 35 years now, there was a, I call it the life before, doing the same thing. That's what the church is supposed to do, right? That's what I thought. I shared the testimony last week about the couple that got set free. It's just about just loving people. Number two, set an example. Matthew 13:16. Listen, as I said, I didn't always do it right, but I had a wife that would be honest with me. What was it that set me free? Truth. In what? Filtered through love. Filter through love. Set an example. You are the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth. I love the way Jesus said that. He didn't say you may be. He said what to them? You are. How many in here are in Christ Jesus? Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You are the salt of the earth. And we need to make sure of some things. And here we go. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? What good is the salt if it's lost its love? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. What have we been reading that he said? Without love, nothing matters. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your good deeds, actions of love shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Give glory to Him because we love one another and we love people. And they give glory to God. Penn Truth, don't make things better, make things brighter. Don't make things better, make things brighter. Well, you don't understand, I'm on a mission to prove I'm right. Well, if it's not coming with love, I'll probably cut you off. And say, we need to have a conversation going in a different direction. Because I know you want to win people for Jesus, but this ain't going to get it done. I got to correct all the Christians that are doing the wrong thing through love. Are you with me? Through love. How many of you have been very stern with your children, but you were doing it with such compassion and love they couldn't help but do what you say? My kids are probably thinking, he never did that for us. And three of them serve here, you know. Baby girl, you just never know where she's going to be. She's way up somewhere on the other side of the Metroplex, serving somewhere else. Rick Warren said, never procrastinate in showing love. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Do it now. Number three, share Christ. 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Most people will not ask you about your hope in Christ if they don't see genuine love. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Don't you love Scripture? But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. What is the key to turn people around? Love. Even your enemies. Even those who speak harshly against you. Love will change everything. It'll change everything. Love. Love will change everything. My final statement today. I have penned, God's Spirit will shape us if we let Him. Amen? If we let Him. Don't dig your feet in. Don't dig your heels in. Men, don't dig your boots down in the mud and say, I can't move. So that our lives will reflect more of the love, grace, and power of God. Like the disciples standing on the hillside after the resurrection, I stand here today before you, knowing that God is calling all of us to move forward with the power that He is sending so that we can be the fullness of Jesus in our world. Can we, will we, move forward and choose today to love well? Last week, there had been a lot of prayer and anointed going on in this altar area and the thresholds coming into this altar, and God brought great breakthrough here last Sunday. Today, we're at a different place where it's not about stepping through the threshold. It's about standing and making a personal decision between you and Christ. Jesus, who gave His life for you, who showed love that was our pattern of how to love. And it's a choice. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to stand. And if you feel comfortable, step across the aisles, those of you that need to. And let's join hands and let's begin at the Father's house. And who's the house? You are. We are the house of God. And decide right now to choose to love people. I hear somebody's going, okay, got it. All right. Tell them that they can love too. And we need to decide right here. Okay, this is a moment of choice. It really is. Rick Warren said now. I believe that. God is calling us to a now moment. Are you with me? A now moment to make a decision. We're going to love well. I know some of you are facing some things that look impossible to even try to love what you're looking at. But in Christ Jesus, all things are possible. And are you in Christ Jesus? Then it's possible. It's possible. I mean, Rochelle had people saying, you need to leave that dude. Matter of fact, why don't you just hire somebody to take him out? She has a connection. But it's a choice. Anybody with me? It's a choice. And I believe if you make the right choice, because I know my Father, He's going to make a way where there was no way. Let's choose now to start with the person on the right and left of us, and throughout this building, we're going to love each other first, right? Right? I love it. And then we're going to go love people. We're going to speak the truth without compromise, filtered through what? Love. So just look in the rearview mirror before you get out of the car and make sure your countenance is right, and then go do it. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, I just want to worship you right now because you are the Lion of Judah. Oh, you're the Lily of the Valley. Oh, Alpha and Omega. Beginning and the end. Father, we thank you for your word that spoke to us today on how important it is to love and to forgive well. So Father, today as Rochelle and I stand here, as everyone else stands here, when we join our hands together, we choose first to love each other. Now Father, I ask that you help us love that world out there. And a lot of that world is family and people we've built friends, we're beginning to build relationships with that need you so bad. Not to count all the Christians, God, that are away from you right now. Sometimes the hardest to reach. God, let your Holy Spirit arise in us. And guide us and direct us and lead us into all truth. So that we can bring that truth filtered through love. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Would you be seated for a moment?